This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé, this time the other way, Season 5, Episode 3, a.k.a. let's get to know some of these couples more before, spoiler alert, next week, Danielle and Johan come back. And I'm very, very okay with them not coming back, but here we are. I am, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, please, Ann Vakili, ready for the second podcast this week to break it all down. And with me today, I've got the other half of the Below Deck Wrap Up over on the network, the Big Deck Energy in the house. Also one half of the Mess Magnus, also not an unfamiliar face on the Hot Mess Express. It is the lovely Sasha Joseph here with me today. Sasha, how you doing?
So good. Can't believe I'm already back. It's wild. Okay, I'm ready to fight everyone. Thank God we're not sad and we actually get to be messy, Puya. I'm ready.
We do. The other way has been very good about that. I feel like it's been, for the most part, a lot less sad and a lot more just outrageous, which has really helped with the show. I'm actually, you know, I really thought when they added the second show to the schedule that I was going to hate this. I was going to have a tough experience. I was going to have a tough time and I have to put on a facade. I'm here to tell you, I'm actively enjoying myself with this 90 day. It's been so far so good. I mean, we are three episodes in, so let me not get too far ahead. Danielle and Johan rearing their heads soon, which will be meh, but it's fine. But for now, you're right. It's just mess and it's a good time to talk about it.
Can't wait. Okay. Can't wait. Because listen, they said other way equals India. So here we are. I'm back to drag another one.
Immediately, like, it started looking fine initially, Sasha, and then it very quickly has gone sideways and it escalated even quicker than I expected this episode. So we'll dip into all of that, but first, you know, let me put my Julie Chen on for this upcoming Big Brother season. Let's go to South Africa first. That's where I want to be. Let's talk about Holly and Wayne. So last we saw them, Holly arrived at the airport in South Africa with her mother, who's staying with them as the chaperone for the duration of this visit until they get married, of course. And then after that, a little bit more. And then she's going to leave. It's mom's first time traveling outside of the States. So let's keep that in mind because it's going to be important. And the big thing that's happening with them is that Wayne has had a tough time with burglars and has been broken into three times in the last 6 months. So one of the things that Wayne is both trying to do and mom is here to get assurances from is that it is safe. Everything's fine. Everyone's going to be okay. But Sasha, there was some interesting developments on what's going on here in South Africa with Wayne's living situation.
Okay, what is first of all, ma'am, did you not see Ronald already? Right, like this is something we knew, right? Where South Africa maybe quote unquote isn't the safest, especially when it comes to like home break-ins. Mm-hmm. But then why his dogs are killed? Like, what kind of home invasion is this? And why do they keep attacking you?
It felt like John Wick-esque when we found out about Storm the dog. So Wayne has been broken into, like I said, three times in the last 6 months. And we do learn a little bit more about something that I wasn't aware of, which is load shedding, where they turn off the power daily so that the grid doesn't over circuit, right? Something like that.
Yeah, basically, yeah, they do that as a prevention. California too.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So, and there's different stages of this. Wayne mentions that the higher the stage, the sometimes you can be without power for 8 hours a day. And when this happens, crime goes up because there's like, you know, there's no electricity. So no security cameras, no electricity, like fences, none of that. So people are breaking in and they're stealing and they're doing a bunch of stuff. Turns out in one of these three visits, they killed Wayne's dog.
Yeah. I don't know why that's like what all bothered me, because like, yes, he has done a lot of stuff to like, quote unquote, proof, burglar proof his house. It's giving Home Alone. But I don't understand how you can just kill somebody's dogs. Like it's giving personal.
Yeah, it really feels. I was shocked to see this because the way we found out was first he went to show his garage because I guess his garage is one of the more frequently broken into places. Mm-hmm. And he set up, like you said, Home Alone-esque, a little bit of a makeshift pepper spray system.
Yes.
Where if they break in, they'll get pepper sprayed. My immediate thought was, well, there's no electricity, so this can't be triggered by like sensors. So is this a you have to know they're coming, or are you going to set string and then they have to like trigger it by passing it with the string maybe? And then what if they're not facing it? So I had a lot of questions. He had clearly also said that he hadn't finished it yet. So it's going to be a minute before it's ready. But that's the thing he's working on. Then he wanted to surprise Holly with, hey, let's go check out the pool that I've put together. And Holly starts tearing up and I didn't know what was happening.
Yes.
And that's when we find she was like, oh, this is where Stormy died. And I was like, oh, no, it must be a pet. Yes, they have killed his dog, which I was like, this is cruel and messed up. And he has another dog there, though, right? We saw another dog as they got out of the car.
A golden retriever, right?
Yeah, I think so. So I wonder if like Storm was kind of like in a guard dog position and was situated outside maybe and things escalated. I don't know. Thankfully, they didn't dive into it deeper because I don't think my heart could have handled it. So ignorance is bliss in a way where I don't have to know the full detail there, but it's still sad to hear. I felt like this wasn't going to help mom at all. So mom, like I said, has not left the US before and has more than likely not dealt with load shedding or really knows how it works. But then you tell anybody that you were broken into three times in 6 months, they're going to be worried. They're going to think, oh, security is lax here and this is going to be an issue. And then finding out that, oh, and his dog was killed. Oh, and he's trying to put a makeshift pepper spray system, which isn't up yet. She's clearly worried about her daughter living here.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I would be too, right? I just personally living there because this happens in India too, at least where I lived in Mumbai. Yeah, where sometimes it's just the grid gets overworked and it gets turned off. But I feel like it doesn't equal like hotbed for crime, even though it's not like we lived in a gated community. So it's just I can't imagine going to a country knowing that, you know, 50-50 chance it might happen for you. Like, what is Wayne do? I was really trying to find his job.
Wasn't he in plumbing? Plumber. He's like, so, yeah. Which makes sense why he's using like pipes and stuff to set up traps.
Because I was just like, you're not in the mob. So what's going on? Like, why are they coming for you multiple times? Like, don't you have any, like, what do you have left to be robbed?
Also, that's the big question. Cause to me, when they were entering the area, it looked gated. So I thought, oh, maybe he's in a gated community, but then I don't think that's the case. I don't think there's like, they're not like under surveillance. There's not like a security guard or anything by the looks of it. So I'm not sure, but also we don't know what the state status is with everyone else in the community. Like, is everyone else getting robbed three times in 6 months? Or
exactly,
like, potentially maybe he was a little lax and he left something open and they robbed it. Like, oh, this is a sick spot. We can always guarantee that we can get something from this spot. Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, it could be that. And then this is the throwaway line that really sat with me. That's why I feel like that's the first thing I brought up instead of everything else, is that he said, and they were trying to send a message when they killed Storm.
I see. Yeah.
And you're I was like, what?
What is the message? Let us rob you or else?
Like, yeah. Or the other dog goes, like, what?
I don't know. And this is the retaliation. This is the retaliation, is this pepper spray, but only in the garage.
Yeah. And I wanted to say, like, again, are they only coming via garage? Like, I'm sorry. I have so much questions.
Yeah. The questions don't really stop for me there either. We do hear at this point that, you know, he mentions that, you know, I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness household. I'm really like potentially like stayed with my religion the whole way through. However, this is something that we want to do right by. We want to do this the right way, which is why her mom is here as a chaperone. But also, I've never been one to follow the right way. So it's going to be challenging for me. Now, this challenge almost immediately is testing him because, you know, this first night was spent with mom and Holly in one room and Wayne in another room. And already he's jokingly, but also basically saying, yeah, if I could throw some sleeping pills in her food and have her pass out, and then maybe we can have our fun. It's like, well, what's the point of a chaperone, sir? If you're if you're having these thoughts, just send, like, you shouldn't have agreed to this in the first place. This is too much.
And he said that he isn't or doesn't believe in it anymore, right? Like, his religion. So it seems like he's kind of doing, this is what I'm getting at least, is that he feels like he's doing it for Holly, not for himself. So then why aren't you listening to Holly, who in the confessionals is telling us, We're going to jump each other's bone. That's why my mom's here.
Yeah. Well, it's like, if y'all both want to do it, but then don't want to do it, that's fine. I chaperone for sure. But then don't have these like weird, dark thoughts of like, I'm going to knock her out and then we can knock our socks off. That is ridiculous. That is stupid.
Let somebody talk about my mom like this, to be like, my mom's doing us a favor by coming to a place that's maybe going to get robbed. She literally left
the country for the first time ever.
Yeah.
When she, you know, maybe, I don't know, is it a fear of flying, or she's never had interest in leaving? She's clearly doing this for us. But then also, this ended up cultivating in a very awkward moment where they're all sitting there and having breakfast. And he's like, you know, did you sleep well? Mom's like, yeah, I slept pretty well. I was like, well, you still look tired, which I was like, all right, Wayne, I don't need to be the one to tell you this, but I don't care how tired someone looks. You don't say that to somebody. Like, that is, you know, no one wants to feel potentially insecure about looking away. But then mom didn't take any offense, which, you know, thank God works out. And mom said, well, it's going to take more than a day, you know, with all the traveling we did. He's like, yeah, well, you two can relax. You can watch TV and stuff. And then maybe I can join you later and we'll have a threesome. And I died because it got awkward so quick. I feel like you can say threesome and it's just three people, right? It doesn't have to be sexual.
Well, you can say it about like maybe the three of us are going somewhere and it'll be us, the threesome.
Right. But in this context, when you're like, yeah, you can relax and watch a little Netflix, then, you know, we'll have a threesome. It's like, sir, no. But then they joked about it a little bit more and it got awkward. Mom's feeling uncomfortable. I'm feeling uncomfortable. Everyone's feeling uncomfortable. So then it was like, let's move on, change subject. So then that happens. But mom clearly indicated that she would like to potentially see some other places to get some peace of mind. Right? Is that, did you get the same vibe from her?
Yeah. No, she said today. We got to go today.
Now.
Yeah.
I slept comfortably and I may look tired, but I promise I slept comfortably. But also, let's find a new apartment.
But she looks tired because she has to sleep with one eye open. One over here is a horn dog in the other room. And secondly, there might be like killers and murderers or freaking robbers that are going to come get me.
Mom's got a lot on her plate.
Yeah, please be serious.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what we got from Holly and Wayne here. That's where we leave you with them. But we've got more coming in next week where once again, the clothing issue that we talked about last week, Sasha, where Wayne had an issue with the Holly's dress being shorter because of the male gaze, but then also saying that I don't like it. And this next time on, he says, I don't like it because, you know, people might start thinking you're single or a prostitute.
Mm.
And it was like, all right, once again, Wayne goes from like, oh, he seems nice to, oh yeah, no, I hate him. And I remember why. So we'll talk more about that next week, but that's going to probably be one of their bigger issues in this relationship is that he wants her to dress more modestly because of other people and not because of her. So there you go. That's going to be fun for me. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's all you.
Yeah. Speaking of fun, let's go over to the playpen all the way in Mexico City, where Kenny and Armando are taking Hannah over to check out a school there because, once again, Kenny is on the mission to get Hannah interested and Armando interested in moving to Mexico City from where they are. And this is, love them both. Love this couple. This is one of the most boring storylines I've ever seen in 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like last time I know y'all were like, oh, we need these kinds. Like it's necessary to have fun. La, la, la. All this stuff. Absolutely not. Abso-effin-lutely not. I'm sorry. We can root. I want to root for them. I want them to have fun. Live your life. But I don't need this fake shit. I'm sorry. Like you can't tell me this isn't made up or at least extra played up for the camera.
Well, when the entire storyline here was, yeah, let's go look at this, do a viewing at the school that we might put Hannah in. And Kenny says, this is Hannah's like my secret weapon, because if Hannah's into it, then it's easier to convince Armando. They see the place. Armando loves it. Hannah loves it. But then ultimately, they kind of have the exact same argument where Kenny's like, well, I feel like you're pushing back a little bit. Look how much Hannah, you know, I love children because look how open-minded Hannah is to the idea of moving. And Armando's like, oh, yeah, she's, you know, she's got the mind of a child like you because you're also treating it the same way, which I died. That was funny. But then that's pretty much all we got. The big juicy bit of drama from them, Sasha, is next week when clearly Armando's mom is not going to be happy with them moving, which that to me feels very legitimate. But for the first three episodes of the season, yeah, I feel like there's not a lot here. And I think there is a world where a bit of it is not necessarily fabricated, but played up for the cameras a little bit, because it's hard for me to not like these two are the two of the most level-headed people in 90 Day franchise and across all of the universes. So for them to have not talked about something like this at length feels a little bit sketchy to me.
That's what I'm saying. Like it goes against their vibe, right? That is not who they are.
It feels like they basically got a Mexico City vacation funded by the show to go to Mexico City a little
bit. Yeah, like as in they're never going to Mexico City, also, probably.
Hannah is incredible. I love Hannah so much. She is the best. And yeah, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. But legitimately, there's not much more layers we can peel back. This is literally all we got on the show from these
two. and even the little, let's say if we want to chat more, right? What is... Oh, they went to a school. Kenny asked about the library. Come on. Come on.
We found out that their curriculum is half Spanish and half English.
Yes. And the teachers to student ratio, blah, blah. Come on. Like, this is the thing, 90 Day Fiancé. If you maybe cut it down instead of 70,000 episodes a season to 10, it would be juicy and fun. Or well, hell, even 12.
This is where I have to go back to what I feel with the way they put some of these returnees on these casts, where to me, 90 Day Fiancé before the other way, the whole appeal is I'm moving to a brand new country where I don't know the language and I haven't done my reading, but I love this man from there. So I'm going to give everything up and go there and see how it goes. That is good because there's drama. It's kind of like before the 90 day rolled into a whole new setup. But when there's a returning couple that is already in a loving relationship, they've established stuff. Granted, Kenny's kind of keeping his end of the bargain by being the other way when he's literally not learned Spanish yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But other than that, this is a healthy relationship that's just, you know, there. So they should be in happily ever after if you're looking for a place to put them. Because the premise of this show is, ooh, they don't know there's a, you know, there's an issue culturally. Like, we're not getting enough of that, I feel like.
Yeah. And instead, it's like silly drama that doesn't feel... Again, it's, 90 it's, day worthy.
It'd be very, very cute to call it drama because it's right. not.
I'm reaching. Okay, I before that.
Race. At best, this is a well. We communicate really well, and we're at a bit of an impasse. But we're not going to do something the other one doesn't want us to mm-hmm. do anyway. So we're going to healthily communicate about it across 9 episodes. Yeah, I don't need to see that. I need. It's good as an example, right? So if I was to think that everyone who watches 90 Day could learn a thing or two from them, I'd say good. But this is a show where none of the other people have good communication and the viewers sit there and think, I'm good in my relationship because look how healthy I am compared to them. So at best, Kenny and Armando are showing us up and I don't appreciate it.
Like, I don't like that.
You're making me look bad. You're making me look bad. Okay, stop it. I need to feel superior.
I agree because I feel like my day-to-day drama is a little crazier than this. And it's not even actually, but I'm just compared to Kenny and Armando, it for sure is.
I feel like where's the random fight about did you leave the milk out overnight?
Listen,
we paid good money for that. That's gone now.
Where is the line? This is
or like yes. when I first moved, I had a tendency of leaving, you know, soaking the dishes overnight in the sink and then doing the dishes like during the day. Mm. And of course, if I can get to them, I'll get to them in time. But if I don't, I'll just do them like that. I remember the first couple weeks I was here, I'd moved. We had like a busy night. Like Liana and I were doing some like hangouts with people on Zoom. And then it ran late. She went to bed for work. I stayed up a little bit more. Then I went to bed. And I left a couple plates in the sink. When I tell you, I did not expect the reaction I got in the morning. Have I asked me if I've ever left a dish in the sink since? No. The answer is no.
Hilarious.
No, I didn't. However, you know, every now and then we'll leave the pan in the sink soaking because it doesn't, the grime doesn't come off. But see, that's at least a little spicier, I feel like. I feel like with these two, they're so level-headed as well. There's not like yelling. And again, I'm not asking for them to yell. I want them to be as happy as they can, but I don't think they should be on the show at this point.
Yeah, it's more that.
They've graduated. Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break right here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple that are about to meet for the first time, and that is Brandon and Mary. Don't go anywhere.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Sasha. All the way to the Philippines for this one. Brandon and Mary are about to be face-to-face for the first time in their relationship and not FaceTime to FaceTime as they have been this entire duration. So last we saw them, Brandon had to sit next to a woman on the plane. Mary got mad at it and she said, don't come here. Argued. And then, you know, we kind of blow past that because he's in Manila now on the layover. So what you going to do? Say, don't come here. It's too late. He's here.
And they made up so quickly. Mary, where's your spine?
You're like, listen, if you're going to be ridiculous all Thank the way you. From see it out.
Stand up, girl. If you're going to drag, we got to drag.
Right. So they, you know, let's just skip right over to her talking to her grandparents, because this was like the big deal of the episode where her grandparents basically said, listen, we want to uphold our beliefs and the way we do things around here. So if you want to hug or hold hands, you have to ask us for permission. This is how we see things. This is how our ancestors saw things. And Mary's like, yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's fine. She tells us, I haven't told Brandon this, but I want to respond. I don't want to do wrong by my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. This doesn't hold. Okay. For long. Then her brother's the one driving her to the airport. And we find out that her brother had a baby outside of wedlock and the grandparents iced them out for a year. So this is the bad boy of the family, allegedly. And even he's like, yeah, you can't do any of that. You know this, right? You got to like follow through. But what if like, I want to hug him. Like, I'll listen. I respect it. I'll allow it. But just so you know, they're not going to be happy about it. It's up to you. It's up to you. So they get to the airport, Sasha, and you think we heard hand holding. We heard hugging. They're probably going to hug and then hold hands. This was uncomfortable because they are kissing a lot in front of the brother.
Here's the thing, okay? Before we even get to that, Puya, how you talk 24/7, literally the phone is an appendage, right, to your body, mm-hmm. but you can't have actual communication. That's the real mystery here, because all of this has been said. You're yelling at him, mad at him that he's, you know, sitting next to women, blah, 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 blah. But in that 1 minute, you couldn't be like, also, these are the things that you can and cannot do.
And by the way, these are some of the restrictions we're going to have put upon us. Are you still cool? All right, cool. I think a lot of the couples do this, and another couple we've not talked about yet today have done this, where it's like, I don't want them to get spooked and leave, so I'm not going to say anything, and then I'll tell them when we're together, and we'll work on it together as a team. It's like, well, that's they're, you know, it's under false pretenses, so that's not ideal.
Yeah, it's literally surprise MFR. Also, in the house that he paid for, like, this is his house.
Yeah, it's a sticky one. It's a sticky one. Let's be honest. It's a sticky situation. This is not great. However, they get together and immediately upon hugging, Mary tells us that, yeah, I want to do what I want to do. I have to do right by me and by Brandon. We kiss it a lot. Because again, I have no problem with PDA. I'm a very fine person with PDA, but PDA around family members makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, same. I could never. I was thinking about that. I was like, even now, right? I'm married. Mm-hmm. And if there were, well, we're both only children, but if there was a cousin in the car, you would not catch me making those. First of all, the kissing noises drive me crazy. Like, and then on top of that, this man is just like the ops sitting in the front seat.
If someone's staring at me while I'm kissing, I feel uncomfortable. I don't like that. And this guy's driving with the rear view mirror and he's saying stuff like, you're being naughty, sis. Stop it. All right. That's enough now. Because like, it's not even like a peck. A peck is fine. Like, you know, I'll deal with a peck. I can peck my wife in front of family and be fine. It's the making out. That's a lot.
They won't stop. It's like he wants to eat her and just stop. Like, it's not. Well,
and she, we find out, hasn't kissed until this point. So she's out here getting this experience for the first time. And let me tell you, the first kiss, you're like, ooh, more of this. This is a good feeling. So she's going through this with her brother in the car. And it's a 3-hour drive from the airport home. Like, this is a lot of kissing in the backseat.
I'm telling you, I get it. Okay. Like, it's been popped for her. It's exciting, but baby girl, your brother is right there. You also have a chaperone, and your chaperone is not as nice because he's gonna snitch, right?
That's the thing for me is like, even if your brother said, you know, it's up to you, I respect it, everything. Yeah, my brother who got iced out by my family and probably keeps getting reminded that I'm the good one and he's the bad seed, now has primo info. Yeah, they were steaming it up in the backseat, grandpa. Like, this was a lot, and they didn't ask for your permission. Ooh, that's not good. I mean, now, do I actually think that's going to happen? Probably not. This is a grown man. I'm hoping that Romar is not going to give her away. But if I'm Mary, I would assume he would, and I wouldn't do anything in front of him at all. Maybe get away with the hug. Because to me, this feels like it escalated a lot quicker, because she seemed like very much like, oh, no hugging, no holding hands. Cool, gotcha. And then it went through forget hugging, forget holding hands, full on makeouts in the back seat with my brother right there. And then they meet the grandparents. First of all, I would like to say that Brandon was being very sweet with the grandparents. I did like that from him. Brandon surprisingly seems a lot more normal once he's not on the FaceTime tip. So we'll see how much normal he keeps. But for now, he seems fine. Grandparents seem fine with him. But then grandpa does ask, so what did you two do when you first met at the airport? And the cliffhanger is Mary being worried about him telling his grandpa about her grandpa about the kissing and whether or not they're going to lose respect for him. And I thought, well, you've kind of put him in an impossible spot where he didn't know these were the norms until your brother explained it to him in the car ride home. And then now are saying, is this your first time meeting my grandpa? Lie to him. Lie to him straight to his face. Lie to him. You're setting him up for failure. You're setting yourselves up for failure if you're trying to abide by grandpa.
You should lie, though. Right? I mean, like, listen, please be serious.
I would never not lie in this situation.
Correct.
If this was my family, yeah, they're going to know. They're not going to know anything.
They're not. No, yeah, they will never know. Ever. Okay, be serious. But no, I also want to say, Brandon almost was like doing the most in the car. And then you're right. I feel like he changed when he like stepped out of the car.
Because the brother was also like, so yeah, kissing in the U.S. That's loud. That's cool, right? He's like, yeah, that's cool. And then the brother said, well, in the Philippines, it's not, because, you know, it's bad to our ancestors. And you got to like ask for permission from like the elders. And I feel like hearing that, I'd feel like a dummy if I didn't know. And I'm just macking in the back seat for like an hour of the 3-hour ride. So, yeah, again, simple communication equals simple solving. But if everyone was like Kenny and Armando, this show would not be on the air.
No, and he's, that part. And he's so cheeky, Brandon, because he was just like, so do I have your permission to kiss? And he's like, it ain't me. You have to worry about it. Well, I'm just like, Brandon, pause.
So may I put my lips on your sister in the backseat of your car, good sir? Wow, like, there's
there's no music even playing. You feel me? Like, this is like, this is on me. I know that, like, I'm just not a PDA person. Like, I don't even like the whole hands. But
I feel like, listen, again, for me, it's like, I'm fine with PDA. I don't do it a lot, but if other people did it around me, I'm not like grossed out by any means. But I think I would feel uncomfy if it was like relatives of mine. Like, if this was role reversal and I'm driving and my sister is in the back seat with her boyfriend, I'd be like, all right, y'all, let's keep it together. We're on a car ride. Okay. Someone tell me about the weather or something, please. So that's what I would do. But it also, again, if it's like a friend of mine, or if I'm driving an Uber, right? If I'm an Uber driver and there's two people in the backseat and they're making out, it's not my business. So I don't care.
No way.
What am I going to do? Be like, can you please stop that in this vehicle? No.
Well, listen, first of all, y'all not going to do anything in my vehicle. Be serious.
They're kissing.
And then when they get their love juices on your seat, what are you
doing? They're not going to do any of that. Are you serious?
People be moving mad in cabs and Ubers.
Well, not in any I've been in, I'll tell you that.
Because you don't do PDA.
Maybe I'm the problem in that equation. Maybe I should step it up. I don't know.
Listen, do it. And then get that 250 charge.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I feel like, again, Sasha, let's stay on script and focus on kissing, because they were not moving mad in the back of the brother's car. They were just kissing.
Yeah, Brandon wanted to. Brandon was not. Come on. It was like so weird again, but it's fine. OK, I'll relent that it was just kissing. But I think if he could have, he would.
Maybe. And thankfully, we'll never know, I hope, because I don't want to have to cover that on the show. But it might happen. So, yeah, the cliffhanger is, what is he going to tell Grandpa? Is he going to say we kissed? I'll bet everything he will not say we kissed now that he knows. There's no shot.
Nope. He's and the lie. Ops is standing behind him, so you better lie.
Yeah. And hey, he might rat him out, but they're not going to tell. Okay. So that's where we land with them. And then we can move swiftly over. Did they have a next time on? They did. They spent their first night together. There was one of the biggest spiders I've ever seen on my TV screen and an entire gecko in this house that are not pets, notably. They're just around. So I'm curious to see how Brandon deals with that, because I feel like that will be a shock to the system of anybody who doesn't experience that on a daily basis. Because I mean, Mary was very chill about it, because I'm like, okay, Mary's like been here, like this is common. But we'll see how Brandon deals with it.
Yeah, especially when you, again, he paid for this house. This house is built on his broken
So this is the house that they're in, or is the house that they're gonna be in getting made?
That's even crazier then.
So I don't know.
Okay. We'll reserve judgment till I understand more.
Well, for now, let's just reserve judgment and not reserve the truth, like our next person, Julio and Kirsten, who I want to say have kind of the mildest drama outside of all the new couples to me, where with Julio and Kirsten, the entire storyline is, hi, I'm Julio. I'm terrified of telling my mom that I want to move, but I want to move. So despite being in a relationship with Kirsten for a whole year, I didn't tell her about Kirsten until 3 weeks ago. And now she's about to meet Kirsten, and Kirsten expects me to set the precedent of, yeah, we're leaving, we're moving permanently soon. And I haven't said any of that yet.
Listen, I think maybe because this hits a little kind of close to home. So that's why I was like, oh, this is so high stakes. But I realized that that's a me thing, because my genius that I'm married to also did not share with his parents before we met that just like stuff about my family and that I'm Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So these poor Hindu people meet me at dinner, and right before they walk in, he drops all the bombs.
Oh my God. Is it, oh, and by the way, she's Jewish. Yes. I enjoy dinner.
Yeah. So imagine. And that, like, she, her parents are divorced.
Well, is he very close to his family?
No.
Like, very. Okay. So I can give him the pass there a little bit. Not in that, like, not in a way that I feel like he's justified, but in a way that, like, if I'm as close to my family as Julio is, and that's, I don't true. Say any of this, that is like, that it makes Kirsten look super shady.
Yeah. That's real. I was the first person they ever met or even knew about. Let's be clear. So there is a difference. But when this was happening, my husband was in the room and I just like looked at him and he could not stop laughing.
You're like, does this look familiar to you, sir?
Yeah. And I was like, look how it looks. Look how dumb it looks.
Look how dumb Julio looks doing this. Look.
And he's like, we're married. It was 7 years ago. What do I care? What do I care? It happened. Sir,
it could be 50. This is part of your lore now. It will come up, okay?
I know. So I understand. I have been in this position. And yeah, it's truly terrible. And I don't understand. Or rather, I do understand, right? Like, he doesn't want to let his mom down. But why are you killing yourself and your relationship over it?
Right. Because, you know, let's look at it from Kirsten's eyes for a second. Kirsten has now come to visit the States. To see your family, to meet them, is finding out, oh, mom didn't know I existed till 3 weeks ago. And oh, now I'm the big bad foreign lady who's here to steal her boy from the nest forever. What if she doesn't like me? All it takes for her to be like, oh, I don't really like her. Then what happens then? Like, I don't want to be the villain. And I feel like Julio, without realizing, has kind of put her in the spot a little bit where, yeah, she is the villain. Because, oh, didn't sound like you were interested in leaving at all till this Kirsten. Kind of curious.
And it's like, who is Kirsten? I've never heard of her.
Why are you keeping her a secret from us? Because, like, exactly. don't you like, you know, care about her? So yeah, questionable choices all around from Julio here. I believe this is where we first start seeing Kirsten feel a little bit not in doubt of her relationship, but in doubt of how he may truly feel about the relationship, which I'm like, you have no one else to blame but yourself on this one, Julio.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, I just have no idea how all of this is coming together and why he thinks this is okay.
Right. I feel the same way, because I just feel like you're setting yourself up bad. If you're not as connected to the family or you're not like as close, I get it. But if this is a family so close that you are terrified to tell your mom you're leaving her and abandoning her, then she should know about the, you need to give her more time to like mentally prepare for this, because instead you've selfishly given yourself the time to mentally prepare to tell her, but you've made it so that your window is way, way smaller than if you had said this 4 months ago.
Correct. And again, read the room. Another guy that just like needs to read the room. And it's so unfortunate because here's the thing. I think it might cause drama, right? It might hurt feelings, actually. Let's not even get to drama, where his mom is so visibly upset that she, you know, you're hurting your partner and your mom's relationship. If nothing else, that's the thing we're going to walk away from. And that sucks, because this is the woman you love so much. Why ruin it?
It feels like a self-sabotage to me.
Yep. That's what I was like, you're not trying to go? Like, what's up?
Right. It just feels, to me, it feels like a self-sabotage, because you want everything that you know, you've expressed. You want to be with Kirsten. You want to be in the Netherlands. Then tell your mom what you want. And she's your mom. She will support you. She'll miss you. But that's natural. And it'll all be fine. Instead, you're playing this weird cloak and dagger game where you're not telling her stuff to protect her, but you're secretly protecting maybe yourself. And then it culminates in they're at dinner with the family, and they, the mom, the brothers, they're all like, yeah, you know, he's not an honest guy. So mom said that about him. Like, okay, well, is that better? Is that better, Julio? Do you like that?
Yep. And this is her first time meeting your mom.
Yeah, oh, she's fully watching the mom be like, you know, in tears, hearing the news that, like, because, you know, when he says that he's trying to move, she's like, oh, are you, and you've already made up your mind? He's like, yeah, I've made up my mind. And, you know, this is, again, the first time she's hearing it. So to her, he's rushing into it, because also she doesn't know how long the relationship's been. it's been a year or something, mm-hmm. and she's only known about it for 3 weeks. So naturally, she feels like it's rushed. And now Kirsten feels like she's the problem because, oh, your mom's crying because you want to leave with me. I'm taking you away from your mom. I'm the bad guy. So this could have all been avoided if Mama's boy Julio was just, breadcrumbing the truth a little bit from the beginning.
Yeah, at least, right? Be like, set the stage. I am not enjoying New Jersey or Long Island. It's too much. It's, Netherlands feels like so much fun. Or I'm loving Europe. Maybe I should go there and backpack there, right? Like, do something. Because this is embarrassing.
I'm just confused because it's not like he's in a situation where, he's very religious and the mom, like, you cannot date before marriage or anything like that, where he's like hiding her. Because when he went on the 2 month experiment to like live together to see how it would go, he lied and said he was there for work instead of being with her. I feel like you didn't need to say, we're trying to see how living together would work. If you're trying to avoid telling her you're moving, you could have said, I'm just going on a 2 month work/vacation thing with this and like hanging out, spending time with my girlfriend, Kirsten, or this woman I've met, Kirsten. Say her name once at least to put it in her mind that like, oh, they were together for 2 months and they've been bonding and building a relationship. So that makes sense.
Yep. 1000% agreed. Interestingly enough, for all the fuck ups that did happen in my first meeting, my in-laws like knew I existed because on our first date, Karthik like sounded different, is what his mom said. She was like, why do you sound happy? Oh, after so work cute. Yeah, so the point is like you have to breadcrumb them, and this comes from, again, like kids that have had to lie to their parents.
I was not supposed to, I went to school in a very, it was gender segregated until like grade 11 for me.
Got it.
If I knew girls, it was clear it was not from school.
Yeah.
So my dad never knew that I spoke with anybody from outside of school. And then when I moved, it was still like I would start telling my mom that, like, yeah, I'm seeing this person or whatever. But my dad still never got the full story because he never fully understood a relationship for me. But then, with most families, there was a hard button switch when I hit like 25, where it was like, they never ask you about dating, never ask you about girls, they never ask you about boys. And then you hit 25, like, so when are you going to settle down? Are you seeing anybody? Do you want to see somebody? And it's like, oh, suddenly now I can date. Like, now you're expecting
not it. Date. When are you getting married?
Right. You kind of skip a level at that point.
Yeah.
It escalates.
And then you have to be like, so you didn't allow me to date and now I'm supposed to get married. And then guess what my mom said? Well, I'm not dumb. And I know you were moving around. I know how you are. Mom, what the hell?
I have the Uber app and I saw a review that you were in the back and that you got 2 stars. There was a 250 charge on my bank account. So.
Imagine. I wouldn't be alive to get yelled at about that. Okay.
We would have never met you. We'd have no idea who Sasha Joseph is.
No, I'd be in a cemetery. Be very clear.
So then I don't know where they're like, suddenly, ooh, what's are you seeing anybody or whatever. So I kind of understand that if you're like holding back on saying you're dating. Mm-hmm. To me, from the beginning, I never understood why Julio kept Kirsten a secret. Because to me, being together for so long, the odd hellos on FaceTime, I don't think they're bad. Kirsten seems very personable and very friendly and like nice.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's even an issue of like, oh, she can come off mean. I think she seems like she's got good energy. So
yeah, agree,
I don't
agree.
See the issue. I'm so confused. It's so confusing to me. The biggest thing, the only solution or conclusion I can come to is he's worried because the minute he shows a girl in his life to his mom, mom's going to get a little protective or start like doing the inverse breadcrumbing of trying to find faults and poke holes in the relationship. That's as far as it could go. But again, you don't want to hurt your mom. Sounds like you were going to hurt her regardless. So do it the right way then.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's it. It comes down to like mama's boy, not like, and again, they may be in a codependent relationship, right? Because how he sometimes, at least to me, presents it is very much like, oh, I am, what's the word? Like he is being used, not used, right? But his mom is dependent on him. period.
His mom leans on him and like, you know, now he's not there to help his mom. And like, you know, his mom has never pictured a life without him there. And now he said it in confessional where he's like, I don't want her to feel like, oh, my son just got up and left and just forgot about me. I was like, well, that doesn't have to be the case. You can still have a very healthy relationship with your mom. You clearly just had a healthy, like, romantic relationship with someone from miles apart. Why can't you have a similar situation as far as like using the same medium to maintain a relationship with your mother? FaceTime, daily text, daily calls, voice notes. There are, the marvel of technology has allowed you to do a lot more. And instead of doing the little trip to Netherlands every like month, now you can do little cheeky trips to the US if you are so inclined to keep your mom happy. There are ways around this.
Listen, and ask someone that is an only child whose mom was more than pissed that she was going across the country for a job. It happened. Yeah. You got it. Rip the Band-Aid. Okay. You got to do it. Listen, do I low-key wish my mom was closer? Obviously. But the point is, like, sometimes you have to make decisions as an adult to, like, grow your life. And I think the easier way to do it is, like, by letting them in on the decision so that they don't feel left out in the cold. And that's not fair either, like, to his mom to be just, like, felt like left out in the cold and having to have a meltdown on camera. Like, damn. Well,
I think and that's the big key to me. And I love we can both speak on this of having been through a situation where our family is further from us and how that dynamic goes. With me, when I first moved to Canada, there was definitely a clear because I wasn't as open with my family when I had first moved. There's a lot of, you know, university lifestyle stuff that they wouldn't have appreciated or stood behind. So they didn't hear any of that. And by default, I kind of using the avoidant tactic, I kept them at a distance. And it was very clear to me that my mom started being more open with me and more understanding of me once she realized or once she got to this point where she was like, I don't hear from him at all. And I'm worried. I want to hear from him. So even if it's something that I may not co-sign, at the very least, if he's honest with me, that's a good place to start. I can still give my two cents, but I love him and support him no matter what. And that relationship resulted in me being way more open with my mom, like to the point where like my mom knows pretty much 95% of everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen unless you try. Because I think with parents, and again, as two non-parents on the podcast, we certainly cannot one for one understand, but I think we can put ourselves in their shoes a little and be like, You just want to continue being a part of their journey and a part of their life. You don't want to be in the dark. And if you are approaching it as, hey, mom, I'm going to move in 3 months and I've not told you about the person I'm dating until 3 weeks ago, despite it being a year. You're going to start feeling like, oh, is this how he's going to be moving when he's gone? Just not going to talk to me and just throw things at me last second. I'm not going to hear from my son again. And that's infinitely worse than you just, you know, opening it up first. So.
Mic drop on that. Done. Because it's hard, but you gotta train your parents or it's gonna be, they're gonna run amok until you are much older.
We grow up, we evolve, you know, we're going through the decades just like anybody else. And like, you know, your 20s or to the 30s, you're like figuring stuff out. Your parents continue to grow and evolve and stuff too. So if you do it together, if you hold hands and do it together, yes, they might not be open to some things and they might be a little bit more in a position where they're like, nah, this is not how it goes. I understand that completely. You know, the culture I come from is a lot of that. But every family is different, is unique. So if you just give it a shot, see how it goes, maybe it doesn't change anything, but maybe it changes everything. And then you're happier for it. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. There you go, Julio. There's your free advice that I'm not going to commission you for. Okay. I'm not going to bill you. So, yeah, okay, the dinner, sad stuff. The next time on with them, did they have one or not? This is the game I like to play when I scroll down to the bottom of my notes and find out who had the bye week this week. And I'm happy to inform you that, no, they are not the ones that had the bye week. They had the very bizarre... So this is clearly in October, right?
Yes,
because they're in matching devil costumes. So I got to assume it's Halloween and they're costumed up. And Julio's best friend is there and they're talking about like living together and stuff. And Julio's floating this idea of, should we live separately when I first get there? What?
Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
Like, yeah, what is this? You just spent 2 months. I thought you were the healthy couple who did the experiment first. I mean, I've always said that until you're like permanently living together, it can still feel like a vacation. But 2 months is about as close as you can get as a trial basis, because the honeymoon phase of the vacation, quote, wears off after 2 weeks. The, oh, we're about to leave and we're going to miss each other part, 2 weeks. That's still a month in the middle where you were kind of just living normally, right? So to me, the idea of let me move there and then we live separately for a while is wild.
And also, you're going to be in a new place where you don't speak the language. Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. So you don't speak the language. Income, maybe not right away. Maybe he has savings, but still, right? He doesn't have an income. So currently, right? There's no way day one he has a job. Maybe he does, and I'm wrong. But don't speak language. Minimal income, maybe income, question mark. And you're moving for love. And you're saying no to all of those things. Make it make sense.
Julio is beginning to unravel before my eyes, because I thought they were going to be one of the more well-adjusted couples this season. And Kirsten 1,000% is. Julio's a big question mark for me at this stage now.
Yeah. Agreed. I feel that like he is kind of going with like whoever's in front of him. I think that's where the issue comes from. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if it's him, if it's like his ideas are the red flags. It's that like the spineless jellyfishness sometimes can be the red flag.
Right. All right. So now, Sasha.
Oh, no.
We come to the final couple. You know which couple this is.
Punching the air.
Are you? You know what? With that energy. Kick it off. Who are we talking about next, Sasha? Hit me with it.
Yes, we are finally talking about Tejasvi and Kimberly. And I'm just kidding, Kimberly. And boy, howdy. What a couple, right? Because again, y'all, I don't think we need to keep talking about like India and all, like how Indians are. But she white, you know? And I don't think Kimberly understands what's going on, but she is moving to India. She has been here before, so that's great. And she's about to go home to a new home. And that is where all the contention has started.
This is where the drama begins. Like you said, she might not know the world she's signing up for, but I believe she has a vision of what it might look like because of what TJ has been telling her, which, you know, sort of to recap, you know, they talked a little bit about the no onions, no garlic side of things the other day.
Oh, can I talk about that?
Please.
Yeah. So, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Kimberly and Tejasvi, they both said this and I forgot about it. But either way, it was said that they don't eat onions and garlic because it is pungent.
Mm-hmm.
What? Are they for real?
So the thing is, Kimberly's Italian, and she said for her, she's giving up onions and garlic because TJ was like, no, it'll be very similar when you're, you know, you're at your house because you can cook whatever you want here. You can eat whatever you want here. She said, well, I can't have onions and garlic. He's like, yeah, no, but we've already discussed why. She said, well, that's a big thing I'm giving up. So his thing was, yeah, it's because it's pungent. And did he mention that like it promotes like negative energy or something like that?
Okay, so they did say that. Great. That's what I wanted to check.
No, it wasn't just the smell.
And I was like, are you for real? Because, yeah, there are multiple religions in India that like don't eat anything from the ground. And some is like for different reasons, right? Like, you're right. I guess Tejasvi is maybe the part of religion he is that, you know, it's the Ayurvedic side of it where they're like, it promotes anger and frustration and blah, blah, blah. Versus I think some other, like a Jain, that's another religion. They don't eat it because they're like, they say peace. They really mean peace. Like they don't walk on grass. They don't like, they are very much, you know, in tune with the earth and they don't eat anything that comes from the earth because of that. So I was like, not him just out here being like, it's pungent.
No, there was definitely a little bit more, thankfully.
Cool, thank God.
To add. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, sorry. I just wanted to make that clear. And then the second piece is the wedding stuff. Like, and I want to like fight K Kimberly because she kept being like, in India, the boy side plans the wedding. Are you kidding?
Wasn't like, the whole thing that TJ mentioned that in India, it's customary for the bride to do it, but yes, because she's American, we said we'll handle it.
Yeah, and that makes way more sense. So that's why I was like, Kimberly, you lie.
Well, did they lie to her, though, Sasha?
It could be.
Remember, this is TJ. This is TJ who has been lying quite a little bit on the journey here. So I wouldn't put it past them to have omitted that just to make it easier to not put the pressure back. Oh, so technically you have to do it, but you know what? We'll do it. Because I feel like he didn't want her to do it. Because to me, it's very 100%. Clear that he does not want her thoughts on the stuff that Matt is to do with them, because she'll make it different. And then it's a whole headache for him, because then he has to convince his family that this is fine. So he's like, no, we got to do it. I think that's probably
yeah,
the theory I'm running with.
No, which makes a lot of sense. It's just she was saying it with chest. And I just wanted to make that clear that unfortunately in the patriarchal system, that is a lot of Indian families. It actually is on the bride's side to plan and pay for it. So it just like, Kimberly, please just like look at the understand the landscape that this man is lying.
Big time. Lying, yeah. Big time. Because Sasha, she's on her way now. She's on her way to, yes, India. That's how we start the episode with her. And meanwhile, he goes to get her at the airport. And the big thing we've learned about TJ and the way he's operating is, yeah, you know, my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, they all expect her to, you know, take on the Indian housewives roles. And, you know, we'll get there. She doesn't know about it, but she'll get there. We'll get there because she loves me so much. And we have seen this dance plenty of times. The omission of the truth to bring them over, and then they'll do it. We saw this play out in like four different ways. We've seen it play out with the Jenny and Sumit side of things, where Jenny gave her God honest trauma, was like, you know what? This ain't me. We have seen it last year with Jen and Rishi, where Rishi didn't say any of the things, but was like, yeah, let's go to my friend's house and you can see how they live like on a trial basis. But I think it's safe to say the soft launch of, we are not going to tell you what the expectations are, and then you'll probably get it because you'll get used to it, never works.
No, it will never work. And here's the thing, right? Like, oh my God, I'm tired of saying this on this podcast, but why are these losers, and it doesn't have to be men or women, just these losers that probably can't get a girl maybe in India for some reason, are picking up a poor unsuspecting white lady, because three for three now, and then you're just straight up lying, okay? You have no credibility. You have no, like, are you not embarrassed to act this way? And it's just, I don't know that it's abuse, but it's giving like gaslighting, right? Like to be like, well, but I told you. No, you didn't, you damn lie. We have you on camera lying through your damn teeth. So I'm just so frustrated, because why do these losers go out of their way to find someone that is not going to go with their family, but then they can't cut the umbilical cord and they still want to stay with your family? Pick a side.
It's the double dip and the, okay, well, I won't piss any side as long as I'm in the middle. It's like, no, all you do is you make the both sides resent each other, and then you have to make a choice, and now everyone's mad. So it's never going to work out the way you think it's going to work out by not. I do think that's the biggest challenge, right? Is if you end up in a position where you're dating someone and you either A, really want to do right by your family, if your family has a lot more, not harder beliefs, but beliefs that they expect you to uphold.
Exactly.
And you agree to do that, then the B side, which is your partner, you either have to be very transparent about that stuff with, or you find someone else, because you can't just string them along and then try and do both worlds. And here's the thing that's different with TJ to me. Like I said at the beginning, it escalated very quickly at the end of this episode for me. Mm-hmm. I was confused at the yelling happening here. So he takes her upstairs to the apartment to like reveal what he's been working on. Because if y'all remember, TJ was tasked with getting the apartment sorted while, you know, and also following through with the instructions that Kimberly had left of like, I would like this here, request here, there, whatever. The apartment's not completed. The door that they had agreed to put for the bathroom is on the opposite side by the shower. There's no door by the bathroom. The windows don't have windows because the person that was supposed to fix the windows was at the hospital and he felt awkward asking them to go back and help do it. And it was very much a head scratcher for me. But then the added layer here was when she's clearly having some issues with it, he didn't like the pushback. And where it really hit ahead, Sasha, was when Kimberly was like, none of these doors are the same height. And he's like, that's a small thing. Is that going to bother you? He's like, yeah, honestly, it's going to bother me. And I was like, yeah, there, you know, some people out there, they can't help. They can't unsee a little thing like that. Right. So then they're going to always see it. They're always going to see it. And
but if you're making a house, why do you not want it to be normal? Why do you not want the doors to be the same size? Are you an idiot?
If you have control over it, why not? I'll tell you this. Apartment we're in, the doorway to go in, like from the hallway to the living room, the doorway is slanted in that like the sides go up straight, but mm-hmm. the top part is a little bit on an angle, which makes no sense. I mean, it's tall and it's like way high up. So it's not going to touch our heads, but we've been at this apartment for 2 years now. I still look at it sometimes while we're watching TV and I'm like, that's weird that that's like this. How did they not catch that and fix it?
But you wouldn't build this apartment.
I didn't build it. If I built it, I'd be like, yeah, we still have control to do this before it's done. Let's just fix it. Let's go over it. You know? So
no, here's the thing. He is lazy. And no one maybe has held him accountable before. And he can't handle that. Instead, he said, like a little baby, oh, give me a pat on the back for doing the bare minimum. That's how you're an idiot, bro. And it's so embarrassing because I appreciate that she like bites back and doesn't just mm-hmm. like, you know, be like, oh, shucks, this happened. No, first of all, Tejasweet, get your shit together. Okay. And, but I you can just tell, like, it's like, I know these kinds of guys. Right. And they just think that because they did the bare minimum, they should feel mm-hmm. so happy. And the bar is in hell for these people. And I'm over it. And I hope he gets his lashings. That's all I'm going to say.
Because here's the comparison for me between TJ and Wayne, who is also working on his house to amp up security before she gets, you know, Holly gets there. To me, Wayne clearly is trying to set up a new security system. Mm-hmm. He's working on the pool. He's doing the work himself. He's like, I still got to put work in it. He's a one-man job in it. TJ has clearly hired people to do this and has not been monitoring it or pushing back a lot. They put a door here. He didn't say, no, that's not going to do. We need the door over there. He's not, you know, trying to find a new contractor for the window. He's very much like, oh, you did it like this? It's fine. We can live in it still. It works. The door opens and closes and locks. So that's fine. But clearly this mattered to Kimberly because she is giving up everything to move here. And you've promised her an apartment that y'all are going to build from scratch. So she said, well, I have ideas. This is very similar to the wedding stuff where she was like, I have some ideas. Are we going to do this, this, this? And he's like, yeah, I'll take care of it. And he's clearly just doing whatever happens.
Oh, he's not. He's not going to take care of it.
Right. To him, it's like, you have a roof under your head. Like, why is that above your head? Why is that a problem? Like, I don't see an issue. And she starts pushing back on him and he starts yelling. And then it got messy. And okay, so do you have let's recap this fight here because mm-hmm. it was a lot. She gets mad at him and he's like, just relax. And she's like, well, you started some real like shit today. And she's like, I'm leaving everything behind to be with you. And he's like, well, listen, I'm not. And you said you were going to do all these things. You didn't do any of them. He's like, I'm not your servant, by the way. And she's like, no, you're my partner, but you're doing a poor job at it. And I was like, all right, that was the best response to that. That exactly. was perfect. She hit it on the head because he was trying to be like, I don't just do everything you say. It's like, well, you agreed to do these things and then didn't. That's different than what you're saying. So,
and if you can't handle it, use your words. You talk for a living,
mm-hmm.
right? But no, the fact that I think he just like expected a pat on the back for putting a basic, getting four walls put up. Who wants to come from a flight and have to pee or poop with no door on and no curtains on the windows? So that everyone gets a free show for all.
Pretty much. I was just like, how do you not see this as an issue to her? Like, clearly she's going to find it to be a problem. Like, she just moved. And in her head, she's moving into a ready place. And there are no windows up here. There are no windows.
Yeah.
Like, no glass anywhere.
Exactly. Like, can you? Oh, my God. And the thing is, he's feeding into the stereotype of like India's bathrooms are a problem. They are not. The people and their mindset can be a problem. And a huge number one issue right here, this guy.
Because his thing to us, to the camera, was that she expects something else. And that's just not a realistic plan for India. And I was like, even if this is the case for like the way the house is set up, right? You're building from scratch. You can make it look however you want. Even if you can't, let's say you can't, contractors, like, we refuse, like, we're not going to do this. This is just doesn't line up with what we do. You can then tell her that. Instead, you chose not to tell her and thought, oh, she'll get here and she'll just be so happy to see me that she'll forget about all this. Bro, this is her permanent living space now. She is not going to just be okay with it.
Let me talk to him, right? Like, I would love, I would just love some 5 minutes. I just want to talk.
Oh, my God. Because
I'm tired of it. I can speak the language he speaks. I'm in it, right? Like, let me eat. Nothing's getting away here. But also, because point is, we're going to see more fireworks later, in the next coming weeks. But I wanted to pull back. This is for like my South Asians, probably more than anyone else. But Puya, this is where it's the little nuances that, you know, just going into another culture, you're not going to get. And I could not stop laughing when Kimberly shows up. First of all, I want to point out, we got a mom, an Indian mom, hugging the white lady.
Yes.
We're already moving 20,000, right? Like, steps ahead of where we have
been. That's been the thing I loved, because when I first saw them on the show and we got the little blurb, I was like, oh my God, please don't do the same storyline again. Because I don't think every couple that comes from India is going to be exact same. That would be, first of all, ridiculous and awful to have that mentality. But 90 Day has been kind of doing that by casting the same trope over and over with the, but my family doesn't approve and we're not going to tell them. And we're going to just deal with it. I was so happy when TJ said that love marriages aren't common, but my parents, they approved. And I was like, oh my God, we're on the other side, finally. So I loved this. And I'm very excited and hopeful that, you know, Kimberly and the mom have a great relationship here.
Yeah, so exactly. Agreed. I don't know that it will, because it looks like they're looking for another maid. But it is what it is. We'll see. I'll reserve judgment for now. It was a nice hug. And she does say, like, everything, you know, all the gifts she says are beautiful. So I feel like she's not like being rude or like, you know, this quote unquote mother-in-law from like the TV show, I feel. So it's been nice. But then we get a moment where his dad puts a hand on Kimberly's head. And this is very common in a lot of like Hindu or, you know, actually South Asian, because I feel like my grandma does this too. And we're Jewish. But either way, they put the hand on the head and it's like a blessing and you're supposed to touch their feet. I personally don't touch people's feet either, or like, because I'm Jewish, we don't bend down for anyone. But either way, supposed to touch their feet, and then they put the elder person puts their hand on your head. I thought it was very sweet that she got a blessing from dad, and dad was being very kind, you know, kind of like gave her the blessing. And then she puts her hand on dad's head. The scream I scrummed when this happened. I took a video, y'all, and sent it to my mom. My mom's laughing and couldn't. She's like, oh my God, like, how did he not tell her what this is? This is so funny. Then I had to pause and have my husband come down and be like, watch this part. And he's screaming. So it was the funniest thing ever. And it was so silly and dumb, I know. But this is like a big thing where, you know, to get like blessings from older people. And the fact that she basically like ruffles his hair, like, oh shucks, the back killed me. It is so funny.
And I think it's an even bigger indicator of the fact that TJ's not really been sharing a lot of this with her or letting her know, because he's kind of just hoping she'll get used to it and just, you know, blend in.
Yeah, which is wild. It's wild because I, before my family and I went to India for my wedding for my husband's side put on, basically, like we had a Hindu wedding in India. I remember being like, we don't touch feet. Like, that's just not something we're going to do. It's against our religion. You know, so we had to like negotiate all of this ahead of time. And I had to be like, what is in the, you know, wedding ceremony? Like, what are the exact rituals? Oh, this, like, yeah, for sure. All good. This absolutely not, you know, goes against my religion, et cetera, et cetera. So it's wild that they just be like, it wasn't like, hey, you should like touch their feet. It's just a sign of respect. And, or, you know, and so like do that. Or if they, you know, give you a blessing, you say thank you or say namaste. Because she did say like Jai Shri Krishna, which, you know, which was great and way more than probably what other folks can do.
Absolutely.
But man's was, he is a mute, right? Like he is just like on mute all time.
I feel like, to me, Kimberly has never shown that she's not eager to learn. But TJ has been very hesitant to teach.
Yep.
And because, again, the fear of, nope, this will be a deal breaker and she'll leave me. Well, we can't have that. So therefore, it's better to just not say anything. And then when we're too deep, then it'll work out. Like, that is, again, no, that is not how you should do it. But, you know, TJ is going to TJ. So,
yeah, we'll especially when a maid is expected, and I know she's not going to be okay with that.
Well, that's the whole thing of like, she was like, well, I can cook my own stuff. Like, is that fine? Like, can I do my own thing? She kept saying privacy is a big deal to me and like, I want my own space. And, you know, I'm living with your family who don't really have that. And, you know, TJ then walks us through his living situation with his family. He's like, yeah, you know, some, it is very customary sometimes, you know, four people in one room. But if you really have care and love for each other, you can do 12 people in a small room because everyone's just together and it's fine. So
it's never fine. Shut up.
It's very wishful to expect Kimberly to just be completely fine with all of it. The next time on, we do see him utter the, he's like, how could someone who's clairvoyant be so like, so,
so
blind to like someone's soul. It's like, TJ, shut up.
No, that was iconic. I fear. I'm sad that I feel that way.
But wow.
That
was a good comeback.
I think that was a good line. He gets 1 point to her 1,000, you know, like he's still down bad. But no, that was really funny.
It's going to get messy from here on out. And we haven't even had the wedding yet. We don't even know what the plans for the wedding look like. So
I cannot wait.
I can't wait to find out if there is a wedding. Because already in this episode, they had the classic, I don't want to marry someone like this. Okay, then don't marry me. And it's day one. It's not even like day two, night one pass. They slept the night. She hasn't unpacked her suitcases yet. And we're here.
Suitcase, so. She washed her hands, I don't think.
I don't think she washed hands, and I think he had just brought up the suitcases to the room.
Lord.
So
what a damn fool.
It's gonna be shambles. Also, the kitchen was broken. Like nothing set up. Nothing set up in this house.
No, I like actually, this is where I'm telling you. I think I've shared this before on this podcast, but yeah, I definitely had a meltdown when I went to my wedding in India, and I'm Indian. So I can't imagine these poor women just like showing, you know, giving up a lot of comfort. Like I will say, American houses have a lot more comfort than Indian houses do. It's just that's not for everyone. If you're, you know, an upper class, it's probably going to be a better house actually than America. But if you are, you know, middle class or lower, I don't know why you're giving up your life in America. I'll just say that.
Well, I had a moment like that when I moved to Canada, because I grew up in Dubai in the Middle East, where the temperatures and the humidity are off the charts hot. So every place I had lived in had central AC. It was just something that I didn't realize it was like a privilege. I just thought it would come equipped with it. You know, if a place is hot, it's going to have it. When I moved to Canada, And when I first moved into our first off-campus housing, when I got a place with my friends, looking at place, I immediately realized, oh, none of these places have AC. And they're like, yeah, if you want AC, you can like bring your own and like hook it up. And I was like, what? I didn't know that was a thing. So I learned that. And that's like a small anecdote, y'all, to point out that this is going to be a bigger experience for, yes, for Kimberly. And she's kind of going in blind because TJ's not telling her the full details. So she's leaning on TJ, who's leaving stuff out. So yikes, the clock is going to be upon us. But for now, we are done this episode. We're, yes, done this recap. We hope you had fun with us, Sasha. Always a pleasure having you on. Thank you for joining us. Let the people know, what other projects do you have? What else is going on? And where can they find you?
Yes, thank you so much. And everyone, sorry for being annoying about the age of sweet, but I don't care. Anyway, but if they do get married, I am booking my spot right now for that podcast because I need to be the judgy auntie that comes in, talks about the wedding.
We can do that.
Yeah. Anyway, but I am, as always, over on Mess Magnets, over here on RHAP, where Kirsten McKennis and I cover hot topics, celebrity gossip, and everything else. So go check that out. Rob has a podcast. Rob has a website. Oh, my God. / Mess Feed. And Chappelle probably talked about this. You probably just heard it. But I am covering Below Deck Down Under with him. So we will be live soon on the Rob has a podcast YouTube channel to chat about it. And of course, in the Bravo TV wrap-ups feeds as well. And I'm covering over on post-show recaps Secret Invasion with Jason Reed on the Everything is Super feed. And again, with Chevelle, just copy paste. I'm talking Never Have I Ever over on Silent Podcast. And Puya, you and I are going to be on the RHAP game night. So
yes, we're in a fun time. You will be playing Blood on the Clock Tower, and yes, I will be spectating Blood on the Clock Tower and providing my little cheeky commentary as it goes along. So it should be a good time.
Can't wait. And lastly, I will be joining Kirsten McKennis on the Hot Dummies on Island feed, talking Love Island. And that is it.
There we go. Well, thank you, Sasha, for all the plugs and for being here. We appreciate you. Y'all can find me on Twitter at PuyaIsm. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/plus, where I am when I'm not on these podcasts. If you want some extra content from me, come through, check it out. I would appreciate it. As far as podcasts go, Big Brother will be coming back about a week from now. So I will have more stuff to plug. But for now, that's all we got. And like I said on the other podcast, thank you so much to those of you who did leave 5-star lovely reviews. Really do appreciate it. If you would like to leave a review here, it is, you know, encouraged. It helps people find the podcast, especially now that I'm doing double. It is nice to get your feedback as well in there. So you can do so over on robswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 90day fiance. We hope you had fun with us. Can't wait to talk more next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.